Psalms chapter 55. We're continuing this evening the series on the prayers of the psalmist. And I'm grateful that we have a God that we can go to. And when we find ourselves, especially in the situation that we see the psalmist in this evening, as I preached a series not long ago on Lord, teach us to pray. When we ask the Lord to teach us to pray, we must understand that it may involve something that drives us to our knees. You say, well, I don't know if I want to do that or not. I want to tell you, that's the best place to be. That's the best place to be. I heard a preacher say not long ago, God put him flat on his back so God could talk to him. You know, sometimes we get so busy that God can't even get our attention. And if God needs to put us flat on our back so that he can share some things with us and teach us some things and bring us to the place we need to be, then we ought to welcome that. And we find the psalmist here this evening in this chapter very discouraged. He was discouraged because those that he loved had turned against him. You ever had a friend or you someone you thought was a friend, and when things begin to become more clear, they're not near the friend that you thought they at one time was? This was the case with David. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And I hope we really take this message to heart. You may not have ever felt betrayed in your life, but there'll be a day that you will feel that way. I guarantee it. You may not battle discouragement, but I want to tell you, there's going to be a time that discouragement will come. And it's good to know that when those times come, what to do. By the way, Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey don't have the answers to those things. I can't believe the credibility that so many people give those folks. And, why don't people trust the Lord? Go to Him. He's the one that made Dr. Phil. Amen. He's the one that made Oprah. I don't think He made her think the way she thinks, but He's the creator of all. And there's going to be a day coming, a time coming in our life that we have nowhere else to turn but to the Lord. And let's read this evening, begin reading in verse 1. The Word of God says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thy face, or hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Woe, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it, upon the walls thereof, mischief also, and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy, notice here, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and my acquaintance. Notice here, we took sweet counsel together and walked under the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. Notice that's past tense there. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no charges, therefore they fear not God. They have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. But he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Verse 16 is the verse we take as the title of the message. The Bible says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. What an encouragement that verse is to me. What great comfort that verse brings to my heart. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. I was reading a statement that Spurgeon made years ago. Of course, Spurgeon was a great preacher. I don't agree with everything Spurgeon believed or taught, but he was a great preacher nonetheless. And he was speaking one day, and he made this statement. He said, I bear willing witness that I owe more to the fire, the hammer, and the file than to anything else in the Lord's workshop. I sometimes question whether I have ever learned anything except through the rod. When my schoolroom is darkened, I see the most. A lot of truth in that statement. Often, the greatest tools that God uses to teach us is the fire, the hammer, and the file. It's often when the schoolroom is darkened that we see the most. We find here David is very discouraged. There are those that he thought at one time was friends. They took sweet counsel together, the Bible said. They went to the house of God together. And yet, they were not near the friend that David thought at one time they were. Those that David loved had turned their back. Even his own son had turned his back on his dad. And at this point in David's life, he felt all alone. And certainly he was a man that was sailing stormy seas. I was talking to one of the ladies that work at the office down at the sheriff's department today. She's a very bad diabetic. I asked her how her diabetes was running, and she said, it's not very good. And said, there's just way too much stress in this job. And she was telling me some stories how that her dad had passed away in January, and then not long after that, the week following that, there was another family member that was diagnosed with the same thing. The truth of the matter is, there are going to be difficult days that we go through in this life. There are going to be stormy seas that we must sail. The light on the classroom is going to be darkened. But that's when we see most clearly that God is able to sustain us. I want us to consider just a few things this evening from this passage that I hope will be a help to us. You may not be going through a difficult day today. You may have had a season of easy sailing. And I don't want to be one to discourage you, but I will tell you, there are going to be some storms you're going to have to sail through. You would never choose to go through them yourself. But God knows in the midst of that storm, when we're the most vulnerable and have no ability to spare or salvage ourselves, it's in that storm that we learn how wonderful He is. Notice, if you would, first of all, David's discouragement. Again, the Bible said in verses 1 through 4, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication." You ever feel like God doesn't hear you? Sure, we've all been there. David said, "Hide not thy face from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." You know, David said, I'm to the point I don't even know how to pray. I'm just making a noise. By the way, I'm glad the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's there. And He lets God the Father know. Verse 3, "Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." Ever felt hated? Felt like people don't like you, don't love you, they hate you? It's not a pleasant thing. I heard somebody say, "Well, if I want a friend, I'll buy a dog." I want to tell you, that's not the way human nature is designed. We're designed, we desire to have a friend. We desire to be loved. And David said, "They all hate me." Verse 4, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me." I don't know this to be totally true. I was reading some Bible scholars on this text. It's almost as if David was saying, "I'm near the point of taking my own life. The terror of death are falling upon me." Hopefully we never get to that place. But I've known some good people that's got there. Continue reading, if you would, in verse number 9. "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it, upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked under the house of God in company." Can you imagine how devastating it is now to David? Someone that he loved dearly, someone that he took sweet counsel with, someone that he'd gone to the house of God together with. And now they've turned their back. I want you to notice here, first of all, David felt deserted. Verses 1 and 2, he wasn't even sure God was hearing him. Not only did he feel deserted, but he also felt deceived. One of the enemies that he was referring to here was Ahithophel. And Ahithophel was angry with David because of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was his granddaughter. We read in Second Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." I mean, it was a household in turmoil. It goes on to say in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 34, "Ephlat the son of Ahasbi, the son of Machithate, Elam the son of Ahiathel, the Gileonite, Ahithophel, his son now's in on it. He's upset." Why? Because his dad was so moved and so full of wrath that he went and hung himself, and now he's involved. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, Of course, this is the story how that David committed adultery with Bathsheba. How they created a scheme to send Joab to the front of the battle and pull the soldiers away, leaving him there with certain death. And now he's been deceived by whom he thought was a friend. Actually part of the family, Ahithophel. Not only did he feel deserted and deceived, he also felt dirty. It was always in his mind about Joab, verse 4, and David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. No doubt David had that ringing in his ears. If I'd only gone to battle with the men, instead of tarrying and lingering and taking a stroll upon the king's roof, admiring all that God had put me in charge of, if I'd have never committed adultery, I'd never lied, if I had never sent Joab to the front of the front lines of the battle, if I had never done that, that was always ringing in his head. He felt dirty, deceived, deserted. He felt defeated. Again, notice if you would in verse number 5. The Bible said there in verse number 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Keep in mind, David was a soldier. He was a warrior. By the way, he was a successful warrior. While all the army was trembling at the challenge coming from Goliath, David said, I'll go fight that uncircumcised Philistine. And Saul said, there's no way. And David said, I want to tell you something. There was a bear and a lion came and took a lamb, and I slew both of them. I grabbed the bear by his beard. And I'm not scared of that guy either. And I don't need all your armor. I'm going in the name of God. And he'll take care of him. And he says to Goliath today, I'm going to take your head. And that's exactly what happened. David was a warrior, but he's now feeling defeated. Defeated. But I remind us tonight that if you're a Christian, you're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. It may seem dark. It may seem gloomy. It may seem like you're sailing through stormy waters, but you're still on the winning side. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14, now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. I want to tell you again, God causes us to triumph in Christ. It may appear the ship is going down. I was watching something last night. I like to watch the Discovery Channel. And they had the deadliest catch on there. I like to watch that. They say, what are they catching? Crabs. And I'm telling you what now, they go through some stormy waters. They were interviewing those boat captains, and they were talking about the waves this year were worse than they've ever been. I mean, 30-foot swells. Can you imagine such? 30-foot tall. Or 30-foot deep. I don't care if you have a boat that's 100 feet long, that's still a big drop. 30 feet. When you go down and knowing that there's a wave coming over top of you. Stormy waters. You may seem or you may feel as if the ship's going down, but I want to tell you, God causes us to triumph in Christ. We see David's discouragement. Notice secondly, if you would, David's desire. I think David's desire often is the same desire that you and I have. The Bible said in verse 6, "And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Ever felt like you just like to fly away? Take wings of a dove and just fly away. Just get out of this mess. I've been there. I was talking to one of the deputies today. He said, "Man, I'm ready for a break." He said, "I've done two academies back to back." He said, "It's about to kill me." He said, "I'm ready for a break. I need to get out of here." I was thinking about this. David said, "If I had wings, I'd be like a dove and I'd fly out of here and get some rest from this." But not only did he say that, notice what he said in verse 7. "Woe then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." David not only said, "I'd like to fly away," he said, "I'd like to flee away, get out of here." By the way, let me just say this, and I may repeat myself in just a moment, but running's not the solution. Running from is not the solution, running to is. If you try to run from it, it'll follow you. You try to run to the Lord, and He'll take care of it. He said, "I'd like to fly away. I'd like to flee away." And then notice what he said in verse 8. "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." He said, not only would I like to fly away and flee away, I'd like to float away. Just any way I can get away from this. Whether it be by air and flight, by fleeing and running or floating away, I want away from this. Ever been there? Ever been there? You said to yourself, "I wish I could just get away from this. It's about to drive me crazy." We all have. "Don't know if I can bear this much longer." Well, then God's got a problem in His Word, because He said He'll not put more on you than you can sustain. David's desire was to get away from whatever it was. As I said a moment ago, the fact is no one can run from problems. We've got to face them with the help of the Lord. I'm reminded of the spies that Moses sent out. There was two of them come carrying back a cluster of grapes. It was so large it took two of them to carry it. I've been to Kroger. I like grapes, but I've never seen a cluster of grapes at Kroger that I couldn't carry out myself. Brother Eric does the produce at Kroger. I don't know if he's ever seen a cluster of grapes that big that it takes two people to carry them. It took two folks to carry that cluster of grapes they saw. Two of those fellas saw that. I preached a sermon years ago entitled "Grapes, Giants, and Grasshoppers and God." Two of them saw grapes. Ten of them saw giants. Notice what they said. Verse 33 of Numbers 13. "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, or the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." Now, how'd they know that? They didn't know what those giants was thinking. They wasn't thinking. They don't know that they were thinking there's a bunch of grasshoppers. Isn't it amazing what we assume a lot? Well, they had to be thinking we're an easy prey. We're grasshoppers. Joshua and Caleb saw the grapes. The other ten saw the giants. And in comparison, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. But back to Joshua and Caleb. They said, "God's able. Here's grapes, but God's even bigger than those giants and grapes." I want to say tonight, there's not a problem you'll ever go through. There's not a storm that you may have to sail through that God's not bigger than. Nothing. When the storm waves are over your head, they're still under His feet. I I like what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God said, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day." What? We've already had to do this. You brought us to the Red Sea, and the army was behind us, and the Red Sea before us. We've already had to do this. The Bible said, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day and go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, and children of the Anakims who thou knowest and whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak?" They knew all about those giants. They'd wandered around the wilderness for 40 years because some, all they saw was the giants instead of God. It was a generation of people that didn't get to go into the promised land because they didn't have faith in God because of fright from the giants. There's a lot of people, they're not serving God today and they're not doing what God would have them to do because all they can see is a giant. You need to quit looking at the giant and start looking at God. Because God's able. We seem to forget that God created the giants as well. Amen. They didn't just appear. God created them too. And the Creator can control any of the creation. We see David's discouragement. We see his desire. Notice thirdly, if you would, David's deliverance. Notice what he said in verse 16. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." I want to tell you, that's enough to cause a Baptist to say, "Amen, glory to God, hallelujah." You should say that's enough to cause a Methodist to shout. You got to say that's enough to cause a Baptist to shout now, because most of them don't. Amen. "I'll call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud." Notice here the consistency of his prayer. You know, some of us pray once or twice about something and we leave it at that. What did David say? David said evening and morning and at noon. Well, what part of the day's left? He's praying about it all day long. He said, "I'm going to pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil. Yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." What are we to do? When we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, the thunder's rolling and the lightning's flashing and the waves are about to cover us over, what do? We call unto God. We pray. We pray. We not only call unto God, we commune with God. Notice what he said in verse 18. "He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." Many. And then the third thing we do is not only call and commune, but we cast our burdens upon him. Notice again, if you would, in verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." You know, the problem today is when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, We count on ourselves to bring our sustaining, or someone else to sustain us. You know, we call a friend up. I just need somebody to talk to. And I'm glad we have folks like that, and they're preacher friends that when I'm going through a difficult time, I'll talk to. I was having a bad day last Wednesday night. I don't know if it came across. I hope it didn't. But I was having a bad day last Wednesday. Matter of fact, I told my wife, I said, I don't even want to go to church tonight. You say, you're the preacher. I know. I said, I don't even feel like going to church tonight. She said, well, you got to. I called a friend up, said, I, you want to get some lunch? I'm buying. If I'm buying, you know there's a problem. I've been his ear for a while. But you know, I really didn't need him to sustain me. I needed the Lord. Too often, and I'm not minimizing that. Please don't say I'm, or please don't assume that. I'm not. I'm grateful for good friends. But I'm going to tell you, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he does a much better job of sustaining us. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. He says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We're to call on God, we're to commune with God, we're to cast our burden upon God, and we're to continue trusting him. Continue trusting him. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Just stay at it. When the storm is raging, that's no time to quit. That's a time to stay and remain faithful. One other thing I'll give you. When we find ourselves in the storms, we call on him, we commune with him, we cast our burdens upon him, we continue with him. But through it all, just consider him. Through it all, just consider him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. You know, the storm's not near as violent if we got our eyes on him. You'll not see all that stuff if you got your eyes fixed on him. I was umpiring a baseball game Tuesday down at Virginia Tech. And they're putting up a what they call a batter's eye. It's a screen or boards in center field so that the batter don't lose the ball or get distracted with something that may be going on outside the field. Well, they're putting these steel beams, these eye beams up to attach this batter's eye, and that beam's a swinging as they're lifting it with a crane. And I told the catcher, I said, man, that's distracting. As an umpire, your responsibility is to lock in on the ball when it leaves the pitcher's hand and follow the ball and track the ball as it makes its way to the home plate. Most of the time, that's easily done. But when there's a beam swinging here, it's hard to pick up on something. I told the catcher, turn around, and he said, man, I can't see the ball. I said, well, you better see the ball, because if you don't catch it, it's going to hit me. And I said, your job's to protect me. That beam out there just doing this. They'd pick one up and set it down. I'd think, man, that's good. Hopefully that's the last one. They'd pick up another one. Next thing I know, there goes that beam right through my line of sight. And I'm trying to figure out what's the baseball and what's the beam. They'd get it set and I'd think, maybe that's the last one. They'd pick another one up. It's not hard to call balls and strikes if your eye's on the ball. And it's not hard to live the Christian life and remain faithful if your eye's on the Lord. That storm won't seem nearly as violent as it is. I was umpiring that game Monday night and it got postponed to Tuesday night. Why? Because I was watching, trying to watch the baseball, and all of a sudden I saw a streak of lightning in center field. I said, whoa, get off the field. I wear steel-toed shoes. And I got a steel mask on. And I'd rather not be branded in any one of those two places. Get them off the field. What happened? I wasn't watching the ball. I saw a bolt of lightning. I just want to say tonight, those desperate days, those dark days, those trying times, those stormy waters won't seem near as bad if you just keep your eyes on the Savior. He's in control. And when the water seems to be going over your head, it's still under Him. Therefore, you just call on the Lord. You just commune with Him. You just cast your burden upon the Lord. You just continue to serve Him and consider Him through it all. Why? Because He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. David said, I don't even know how to pray. Well, he's thinking. And God's able to do more than we ever can even think of. We need to remember what the Lord has done and can do. I'm sure all of us at times have felt like David felt. Weighted down with the burden. Overwhelmed. What are we to do? We're to call upon Him. Call on Him. Why is it when we're going through difficulties that usually the last thing we do is call upon God? We try to figure it out ourselves and come to a conclusion. All the while, God's saying, hey, I can take care of it. Yeah, I'm reminded of the disciples. They began to row more vehemently, the Bible said, when in that storm. We got to get out of this thing. The Lord's right there. We need to get out of this storm. Well, the Lord's right there. And all of us at times pick up those oars and try to row out of it. The Lord's right there. He's just right there. They've gotten another storm and the Lord's fast asleep on the back of the boat. And they're thinking they're going to die. They go back here and wake the Lord up. Don't you care if we're going to die? Peace be still. And the wind ceased. You're never in such a dangerous storm that the Lord can't take care of it. You just got to ask Him and trust Him. And He'll sustain you. We're not going to sing tonight. I'll have Him play just a little bit of the invitation. I'm not sure we'll even play the whole song. Very well may be tonight you find yourself in stormy waters. I have found in my Christian life I'm either in a storm, headed into one, or just left one. But I know this, He's brought me through all of them. I'd like to say I haven't grabbed the oar and tried to get out of it myself. There's been many a storm I've tried to row vehemently. He's saying all the while, I got it. I can take care of it. No, I think I need to get out of this myself. Okay. You want to row out of it, try. You're not going to do it. I can take care of it. We've all been there. Truth of the matter is we'd probably be there again. Tonight, if you find yourself discouraged, stormy waters, quit trying to fight it yourself. And the lightning's not near as bright when you got your eyes on the sun. Amen. Lightning's not near as bright when you got your eyes on the sun. S-O-N. Matter of fact, you don't even see the lightning at all when your eyes is on the sun. May God help us tonight to learn the things He would have us to learn.